He's worthy. Amen. God's been good to us. Well, preacher, I got this. No, God's just been good to you. I appreciate the Lord this morning. Appreciate our youngins using their talent. And it just amazes me how God's just giving them some things and they're using them. I just want to encourage them to be used of the Lord. All right, take your Bibles this morning to the book of Job. Job chapter 2 this morning. If you don't have a Bible, I'd like to encourage you to grab one out of the pew there. Open it up and follow along with us this morning to the book of Job, Job chapter 2, one of the oldest books, if not the oldest book in the Bible. So much to be said here. I don't want to give too much away, but I'm preaching something this morning I've never preached. And I'm preaching on something I've never really preached from. And I'm going to say things that's going to be because I'm preaching about something I know nothing about. And you think, well, how are you going to preach it? Well, let's just see how it works out. Amen. It's just going to be different. I promise you, the Lord gave me this. I had the thoughts there. I know it's nothing. And I'll show you through Scripture where it runs true. We sure don't want to give this something to run us out on the limb break. But I promise you what we're going to get this morning is a truth of the Word of God. And so you just follow along, and hopefully your head will begin to nod here in a little while, and you'll say, yeah, that's it. So, all right, Job chapter 2, if you found your place, and you can, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God this morning. Again, thank the Lord for the Bible. Job chapter 2, the Bible says, and again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Not preaching this, but it goes right along what we looked at the other night. Can I say tonight or this morning, God's still in control? Don't give the devil too much credit. The devil can only do what God allows the devil to do. And well, preacher, why does these things happen? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct. You don't need to know. I don't need to know. God knows. And he's working all things, what? For my good. So the Bible says again, they came there, verse number 1, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast with his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Boy, Satan ain't dumb, is he? Satan knows exactly where to push you to. Satan knows how to get you to draw over this way. It's just like old bass fisherman. He'll throw that lure out there. If it's not biting that, he'll change that lure. He'll find something that he'll bite on, and that's the same thing the devil does. And that's what the devil's saying to God. He says, you know, you hadn't let me hurt him on his flesh. And if you'll let me have his flesh, he'll move. And Satan, verse 4, answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. And I've seen a lot of people sell themselves out to this world and to the devil for this old stinking flesh. Verse 5, but put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord. Could you see that old devil? I bet he went out there just a skipping. I bet he had a grin on his face from ear to ear. I bet he was, oh man, I got him now. And the Lord said unto Satan, verse 6, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, and from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Verse 8, and he took him a potsherd, scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. God, I pray for the next few moments. God, would you please direct our hearts. God, help the Word of God not to fall on bad ground. God, help it to find a place, a lodging. Help it to move into the hearts of your people this morning. God, help us today, God, not to see the preacher, not to see a religion, but see you today. God, speak to our hearts as only you can, Lord. And we'll praise you for what you do. If there be somebody here today that's lost, maybe in our children's churches, Lord, I pray that you'd save there. Lord, somebody in here this morning, I pray that you'd save their soul. And God, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you do here this morning. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You be seated this morning. And again, the book of Job is a wonderful book. So many things to be drawn out of the book of Job. I love to read the book of Job. Love to study the book of Job. And I encourage you to read it, study it. So much to glean out of the book of Job. But as we've seen already in chapter 2, God says some things about Job that's very unusual. Things that just that God would say about a man. He says this about Job that he says nobody else in such a way. And we find here even in verse number 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And that's the same thing that God said about Job there in chapter number 2. Now, I can say this morning, God has never said that about me. And God will never say that about me. Because that's not who I am. I can't say that I'm perfect and upright and I eschew evil. I'm the opposite of that. I'm a sorry, low-down sinner. And this old flesh likes to play with sin. And sometimes we get our minds and our thoughts in places we shouldn't get them. Why? Because of this old stinking flesh. But God said this man Job, there was something about him. He was perfect and upright and he eschewed evil. He didn't want anything to do about evil. And then we see here that Job had a desire about his family. Job loved God and Job wanted to see God working in his home and his family. And Job, even though his children wasn't living right and even though his children wasn't close to God like they should have been, Job wanted to stand there in that gap and place himself there on behalf of his children. That's what we read here. If you jump down to verse number 5, it says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sacrificed them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, talking about his children. For Job said, this is what he said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Boy, it'd be good as a daddy this morning. It'd be good as a grandpa this morning that we'd have a desire for our children and our family, that we would get up early in the morning and give ourselves unto God and pray for our youngins and pray that God would protect them and try to encourage them to serve the Lord. Verse 6 says, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Same scene that we saw in chapter 2. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? God looked at Satan and said, Satan, you ever looked at Job? Boy, that's something about a man by the name of Job. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is, notice what God, the preacher didn't say this about him, but God said, notice. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and hath and his substance and his increase in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And we know the story there, how Satan went, and how his children were out in that feast, and how Satan killed every one of them. All the substance of Job was taken away here in just a blink of an eye. Verse 20 of that chapter, chapter 1 says this, then Job, after all of his children had died, after all of his substance had been taken away, verse 20 of chapter 1 says this about that man. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22, about this man Job, it said, In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What a man we find here, this man Job. Over and over, God shows forth what kind of man he was. But God allowed something to come into Job's life. God allowed him to fall. God allowed everything to fall down around about him. God allowed Satan to take away his family. And God allowed Satan to take away his substance. And God allowed, here in chapter 2, for God allowed Satan to touch his flesh. And we saw there that from that moment he had boils from the bottoms of his feet to the top of his head. We find here that God says in all this, verse number 22, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Man, what a great man, this man Job. But I'm not here this morning to preach about Job. Well, preacher, that's all you've read about this morning. I find something in verse number 8 this morning that I'm very interested in. Verse number 8, we find after Job has been affected in the flesh, as Satan has touched his body, and he has boils. Can you see him? Now, I know I've had a boil or two in my life, and there's nothing pleasant about a boil. But I have never had boils so bad that they go from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. It wasn't just a toothache that he had. His body was racked. Job has gone to probably one of the lowest places he's ever been in his life. He's watched as the messengers came in chapter 1 and told of all of his children being killed. He's watched as the messengers come in and told of all his substance has been taken away. Now he's woke up and his body is racked with boils oozing. Can you see them? Can you see those boils as they're just bursting and oozing and just the pain that must have been? Anybody ever had gout before? I have never had gout, but twice I guess. I'd never had it until I had back surgery. And I don't know what changed in my body after back surgery, but right after back surgery I got gout in my little toe. My little toe. Anybody else had gout? Me and Tony, the only one testifying. We're the only ones, I guess. Y'all are so good. Y'all don't have no troubles, do you? But I had that gout in my little toe. I couldn't sleep. It's just my little toe. I couldn't stand for the sheets of the bed to touch it. It'd wake me up. It hurt so bad. It was just my little toe. And here we find Job sitting there in the ashes, covered from top of his head to the bottom of his feet in boils that were just oozing. And can you just see them? But as we look here, as he sits here in these ashes, there's something in verse number 8. It's a something, but I want to try to look at it as a someone. The Bible says is verse 7, that Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Verse 8, and he took him a pot shred to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. I want to preach this morning on that piece of pottery. Why, preacher? What's that got to do with anything? Now, where was Job? We find him that the Bible says he was sitting where? In the ashes. You know where he was at? He was in the trash pile. His body, instead of running to the doctor, instead of going to a soothsayer, Job finds himself out in the trash pile. And out in that trash pile, as he sits there, covered in boils, covered in oozing of those terrible sores. The Bible says that he picked up something. Just an old broken piece of clay. And he used that piece of clay. Now picture, can you see him? He used that little old piece of clay to sit there and scrape. I didn't want nobody to touch my little toe. My, that little toe hurt. But here's a man that God calls perfect. A man that God said was upright. A man that God said he eschewed evil. Here I find that man sitting in the trash pile, covered with some of the nastiest sores. But beyond that, we find him reaching forth and finding a simple piece of clay and taking that broken piece of clay and sit there and begin to scrape himself. Can you see him? Can you picture in your mind? Well, preacher, what are you getting at this morning? I want to look at that little piece of clay. How did that piece of clay get to where it was? Why was that piece of clay even there? I want to preach a little bit this morning on this thought. And I'm going to give you other places it's found, but I've never thought this about this piece of clay. God likes to use broken things. And God used a broken pot.
Yes, sir.
To help a man that God said was perfect. I want to say this morning, you might be as that piece of pot this morning and you are broken. You might be here this morning and you think you're useless. But here we find that God would even use an old piece of clay that's been tossed into the garbage pile to be used one more time. See, many times I'm amazed at who God would use, but most of the time I find in scriptures that God doesn't use what the world would use. The Bible says that he doesn't choose the mighty. He does the opposite. He chooses the meek and the mild. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31 says. But I find here as he sat there, as he reached down and found that potter's shred, that piece of broken clay, he picks it up and begins to use that to minister to his body. See, to the world, that piece of clay was no good. To the world, it was broken and had no value. It was useless. Nobody wanted it. They had tossed it into the trash. But you know, I'm thinking about that old devil as he come to God those times. And again, he thought, you know, if he just let me have his flesh, Job would cuss you and curse you. Many times the world looks at us and says, we're no good, we're weak, we're nothing. I think this is, the Lord brought this to my mind as I watched, and I don't know if this is the right terminology or the right wording. I don't know if it's the right, you can correct me later. We call them sandpipers. I don't know what they are. They're a bird about yay big, noisy as it can be, run real wild, crazy through the yard, around our house, lays their eggs on top of the ground. Kill devil?
Kill deer.
Kill deer. I like kill deers. Oh, kill deer. Okay. I call them sandpiper. You know what little birds I'm talking about? This is the funny thing. There's a bunch of them below our creek, below our house. And she took Garrett down there to see them. And, you know, those mamas are pretty interesting. If they see some trouble, you know what they do? They'll run. If the babies are over there, they're going to run way over here. And you know what they'll do? They're going to act like they are what? broken. They're going to act like they have a broken wing. Why? Because they know that a predator will think that something that's broken has no value. Something that's broken can be easily taken over. Something that's broken can be attacked and achieved. So that little mama will try to act broken to draw all that attention away from her babies to get there. So God uses over and over throughout scriptures. I got to hurry. God uses over and over through scriptures broken things. And I want to show it to you real quickly. We won't look them up this morning. Judges chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. We find Gideon. Gideon's getting ready to get up there and fight one of the greatest battles that he didn't fight. He stands there. God told him to get a pitcher and put a candle in it. And he says, get that pitcher and hold it up. And I want you to take your sword and break it. It took the breaking of that pitcher to let the light shine forth to the enemy. See, it takes broken things. Acts chapter 27, we find Paul on his way there, and he gets shipwrecked. And the Bible says that many of them got to shore on what? Broken pieces of board. Many were saved that day on broken boards. See, God uses broken things. Mark chapter 14, also John, also Matthew, we find a woman by the name of Mary that comes unto the Lord, and she had a box of priceless ointment. And the Bible says she broke that box. And she took that broken box of ointment and anointed the Lord. See, God uses broken things. I find in Matthew chapter 14, the Lord Himself broke bread and fed the 5,000. I find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where it talks about the Lord and His broken body. God uses broken things. I think about David himself as we find him in Psalms 51, how David was broken over his sin with Bathsheba. See, God breaks us, and in breaking us, He uses us. I find Jacob in Genesis chapter 32 as he wrestled with God, and God broke his walk. Why? That he could walk for God. Again, we find here a broken piece of clay. I got about three or four things I want to share, and I'm done. First of all, I thought about that broken piece of clay that Job used to scrape himself. I thought about its origin. Where did it come from? No, let's go a little further back than the trash pile. He didn't start out in the trash pile. Where did it come from? Well, let me say this. I don't know. I told you I was going to tell you a lot of things I don't know today. I don't know where it came from. But can I tell you something I do know? There was a day that there was a potter. Went down to the banks of the creek and found some clay. And that potter got down on his hands and began to dig that clay up. And the potter, according to Jeremiah chapter 18, took that clay back to the house and began to form that clay upon the wheel. See, I don't know exactly where that clay came from, but I know that there was a day that there was a potter that found some clay. A potter that had an idea of making something. And he took that piece of clay and began to form it and began to make it. And as we saw there in Jeremiah, it talks about how the potter would have to crush that clay to get all that impurity out of it. And he began to, can you see him as he worked that clay on the potter's wheel? And I don't know what he was making, but he had something in mind. See, I don't know what was taking place as he thought there, as he formed that on the clay. But in his mind, he had something he wanted to make, and he made something out of that clay. But there came a day when that vessel was complete in the potter's hand. Can I say this morning that God uses broken things? But can I say there was a day in my life that God found me in the pits of miry clay. And God took His hands and pulled an old piece of clay out of the ground and began to form me and make me in something He wanted me to be. So I think about the origins of that piece of clay that God used for this specific time, that God would have that piece of clay there handy and available, that when the man Job needed some help, he could reach down and just find a simple piece of broken clay. So I thought about the origin of the clay. I thought about the vessel itself and the use. I wonder what it was. Again, I don't know. All I know is it ended up in the trash pile. Broken. Again, I don't know what kind of vessel it was. I don't know where it had been and what it had done. You know, I thought it could have been a vessel that served in the king's palace. Could have been. It could have been a vase. It could have been a pitcher. It could have been anything. Maybe it was a pot or something that went into the king. Maybe the king himself had grabbed it and touched it and drunk it. I don't know. I don't know where it came from. And I don't know where it had been and what it had done. Maybe it was just a pot in a farmer's house, I don't know, that just labored day by day. I don't know. I don't know where it came from. I don't know what it done. But then one day, I do know this, there was a fall. Something happened to that clay. Again, I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know how, when, or where. But one day that vessel, the one the Master had made, the one that was created for a purpose and a plan, the one that was beautiful and had served with probably honor, one day it was broken. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that day? Maybe one of the servants in the king's house tripped and fell and broke that piece of clay. I don't know how it got there. I don't know where it came from. I don't know what happened to it. Maybe somebody just knocked it over. Maybe somebody mishandled it. Maybe it was just an accident. But can I say this morning, it really don't matter how it happened. It don't really matter where it happened. It doesn't really matter when it happened. The fact still remains that that vessel, whatever it was, that vessel that had been crafted and made for a purpose and a plan, sometime along the way had been broken. And you know, this morning I see a lot of people today that are broken. God has saved you, maybe. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. Today would be a good day to get saved. But I've seen a lot of people along the way that get broken. See, the Bible says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, whoever you are. God loved you and God made you and God has a purpose and God has a plan for you. But what happens many times along the way, something happens and you get broke. And again, I don't know. Maybe it was alcohol. Maybe it was drugs. Maybe it was fornication. Maybe it was just something that you didn't even see coming and your health has failed. I don't know what broke you. But I see a lot of people today that are broken. And just like that piece of clay, you've been tossed out into the world, into the trash. And the world says you're no good. Nobody would want something broken. Nobody would care about something that was broken. Many probably thought about this piece of clay. Well, it's broken. I'm just playing this through my mind. I can almost maybe picture my mind as that little old servant girl one day had that beautiful vase or that beautiful pitcher in her hand going maybe from the kitchen to the king's room. Maybe she tripped. Maybe somebody knocked it out of her hand and she dropped that vase, that pitcher, and it broke. I'm sure as they picked it up that they looked at it and thought, I see nothing good. I see no hope to fix it. And they discarded it into the trash. See, many times people, even in the church house, look at people and they see how wrecked their lives are and they see what a mess their lives are and we'll say, well, there's no hope. They're broken. They have no value. All they're worth is trash. But can I say this morning as I'm trying to close, God uses broken things. Not God. God said, I see something I'll use. God saw that little old piece of broken clay and says, I have one more thing I want you to do. And God brought it all the way down from wherever it was to end up in a trash pile. Because there was a day coming when there'd be a man by the name of Job that would need some help. That would need some ministering too. Here, Job, a man that God said was perfect and upright. A man that God said eschewed evil. But on this day, he reached down into the trash piles of this world and God had a little old piece of broken clay fit for the master's use. And God took that broken clay and used it to minister to a man like Job. Boy, I find comfort in that this morning. I find hope in that this morning that God would use broken things. I thought about why God would have to break me. And see, this morning, the reason maybe God does not use you is because God has not broken you. Nobody likes to be broken. Nobody likes to go through pains and hurts. And most people in our day would see a man would fall, a man would stumble, a man would get hurt. And instead of thinking, well, God is in control, we'd say, boy, did they mess up? And I'm not taking away, maybe they did mess up. I've told this many times to many people. 1 John 1:9 is still in the book. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will forgive. The problem is we don't. This morning, you might be sitting here and I don't know what's wrecked your life. I don't know why you sit here and think that God doesn't want to use you. But God might be getting you down to the trash pile. That there'll be somebody that needs to be helped. And God will use you to help that person. Maybe God must break me before I can be used. He needs to break out me from my pride. See, breaking me will get rid of that. Maybe He'll break me because of my apathy. Maybe He'll break me because of my self-will. Maybe He'll break me because of my hardness. But the fact is that God does break people. Psalms 51:17 says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. You know why I don't see much out of the church and myself anymore? Because I don't see many people broken. Why don't it bother us? We've got so accustomed every day of school shootings. We've got so accustomed to hearing all the sexual perversions of our day. It's just another day. When's the last time it broke me? When's the last time it brought me to my knees? Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart. Psalms 147:3 says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. 2 Kings chapter 22:19 says, because thine heart was tender
and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. See, he was broken. And Job, sitting there that day in the palace of trash, found a little old piece of clay. Where did it come from? Where had it been? What had it been doing? How did it end up there? All a lot of mystery. But one thing I do know, it was there when God wanted it to be there. To be used the way that God, oh, preacher, I wouldn't want to do that. Maybe that's the reason God's not using you. But preacher, he took that piece of clay and he scraped them nasty sores. Do you not love people? Do you not want to see people come to know the Lord? Won't you let God get you down in the trenches? All about a broken piece of clay. I close with this. Two verses. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For thus saith the Lord of them of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among the thorns." Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Can I say this morning, I don't know who you are, and maybe you're here this morning and you feel like that you're no good, that you have no worth, you feel like you're just broken. Can I say maybe God wants to use you today? And you might be here this morning, a Pharisee, a Sadducee. Look how righteous I am. Look how godly I am. Maybe God needs to break you. Somebody needs some help. And God used a little old piece of clay in the trash piles of that day to help a man that he called right, perfect. This morning, God's looking for some more pieces of clay that's willing to be used. I wonder this morning, would you let God use you? Would you be willing to go down to the depths of the trash pile just that when God needed you, you'd be there? Most won't today. But I'm glad there's still some that says, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Let's stand together this morning. Thank you for being here.